Well, the latest Chinese hacking revelation comes on top of Labor Senator Sam Dastyari's demotion for tipping off a Chinese Communist Party-linked businessman and donor that his phone was bugged. So is Australia doing enough to defend Australia's interests against threats from China? Ian Hall is Professor of International Relations at Griffith University.
I think probably not as robust as some of us might want. I think the reality is that for a good 20 years or so, all Western governments, and that includes Australia, have taken the approach that economic engagement is the best way to deal with China and to allow China to economically develop in the hope and in the expectation that we would see political liberalisation and that we would see some sort of tempering of Australia of Chinese foreign policy as a consequence of that. Australia has damped down criticism. It's been very careful about things that might upset or anger Beijing. We haven't seen a meeting, for example, between the Dalai Lama and an Australian Prime Minister for some time now because of concerns about how that might play out in the bilateral relationship and the kinds of punishments that might be inflicted by China on Australia as a consequence of things like that. So, in fact, that's the approach that we've taken. The question has to be asked, you know, has that approach worked and is it serving our interests? And I think that's where things become a little bit more murky, because I think the evidence is now stacking up that approach is allowing China to influence Australian politics in ways that we perhaps don't want.
For example, in the Sam Dastyari matter this week and previously.
That's right. So, I mean, what we've seen over the last few years is a pattern of not just things like cyber espionage and intrusion into commercial systems and so on, but also attempts to try and influence the political system and to influence individual politicians and more broadly to try and influence the Australian public. Parts of the Chinese diaspora, people of Chinese origin who live in Australia as well. And they've done that in a number of different ways. One of which is simply through political donations and through conventional lobbying and through getting close to individual politicians, people like Senator Dastyari.
And so what's the alternative? I mean, if we look, for example, at the foreign policy white paper the government released last week, it spoke of strengthening Australia's ties with countries, like-minded democracies, countries like India and China. Is that a valid way forward?
I think so. I think there's a number of different things that need to be done. I think some things are, in fact, being done as well. Look, domestically, there has to be some change. We need to have much more control and regulation and scrutiny of things like donations and things like practices of lobbying, which includes registering political lobbyists and indeed, creating systems to punish people if they engage in lobbying outside the conventional system. Then on the kind of foreign policy side of things, there's no question that Australia has already been working with kind of like-minded countries across the region to try to coordinate policies, to try and coordinate approaches, to try and build capacity, to try and share intelligence and information and assessments about what is going on in China and about China's behavior in the region, and to some degree also to try and build kind of military capabilities and intelligence capabilities to, if things went wrong, to try and manage problems that might arise from China.
Does the region trust Australia to take a leadership role in this way, though?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I think there's no doubt that over the last 10 years or so, there's been a little bit of uncertainty about Australia's approach, quite rightly, because of Australia's very considerable economic interests with China. The government has tried to some degree to have it both ways. But the result is that if you sit on the fence, of course, you know, others in the region wonder a little bit about which side you're going to fall when push comes to shove.
So there's still work there to do. Going back to China then, you say that there's no sign that the convergence idea that you talked about earlier is really working. But on the other hand, take the cyber realm. The statistics on Chinese arrests of cyber criminals runs to tens of thousands a year. Is that maybe a sign that there is a sense in China that they have to moderate some of their activities?
I'm not sure. I think there's a spectrum of activities going on there. So on the one hand, you've got people running scams on the internet. That might involve stealing things, but it might also involve running betting cartels and these kinds of things. And there we've seen a government crackdown to try and stop some of this activity going on, because it doesn't just harm people outside China, it's also harming people within China as well. But what we're also talking about here are kind of government-linked or sponsored or arm's-length activities that are being carried on to kind of to hoover up information from defense companies or from legal companies to hoover up commercial secrets and so on. Now, all states do that to some degree, but it's being done on a scale with China that is really, I think, unprecedented.
Ian Hall, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Professor Ian Hall from Griffith University, and his article called Australia's Search for a China Policy is in the online magazine of the Institute of Asia and Pacific Studies.